All things balance. You see, we are many different individuals with all kinds of different problems and situations, and we always wish we were somebody else, that we had something we don't have, and we seem like we got unfair end of the stick, so to speak. But I want to tell you that God, the great judge, will do right, because the Bible says He will. And somehow it all works out some way until what it all balances out. There are many balancing factors that we are not taking into consideration when we feel sorry for ourselves. Now, there seems to be a glaring imbalance in life. God appears to be unfair. One man is strong and he's husky. Another man, he's weak and frail. Oh, how he wishes he was strong and husky. The strong, husky man, people admire him. He gets those jobs, you know, and he can take care of the jobs with half the work, these physical jobs. And he's better at sports and in contact sports. He's got a confidence in himself because he's got power in his body. And he can defend himself. And he can make money where the other one can't make money a lot of times in certain types of areas because he's stronger and huskier. And it seems like God has been unfair to him. Another man, he's very handsome. And with another man, he's homely. And the handsome man, he gets the admiration. And all the girls say, oh, look, isn't he cute? And nobody ever says that this guy's cute. And they've all got, and he's got a confidence in himself because he's handsome. And he admires himself in the mirror, you know. And he can get a beautiful wife because he's handsome. And this person, he's so ugly, he knows that the only chance he has is getting an ugly wife. And, you know, and he's got eyes the same as a handsome man. And he admires beauty the same as a handsome man. He'd like to have one of those beautiful things the same as a handsome man. But he knows that he can't. And he can't get the same kind of jobs. Now, some jobs you can, of course. But, I mean, with other jobs, there's a certain, you know, certain jobs you can't have that you'd like to have. They want handsome waiters. They want handsome stewards. They want handsome people, in each, you know, to play the guitars and do the things, you know, out in the world and whatever. He can't make the same money sometimes. Now, some occupations you can, of course, but not in certain fields that he may have a specialty in. And it seems like God has been unfair. And then this woman, she's beautiful. And she's shapely. She's a gorgeous girl. And this other girl, she's homely. She's flat-chested, skinny, bony, you know. She hates herself being that way. Or maybe she's got thyroid imbalance, and maybe she's very fat. And I was looking for the other word and couldn't find it for the moment. But fat is fat, no matter how you look at it, or cut it, or weigh it. But the beautiful girl's got the admiration of all the men. Every place she goes, all the men are tuning. All the men are asking for dates. All the men are complimenting her all the time. And the homely one stands there, boy. You know, she gets 10 million, and they just, you know, just she having to beat them off with wet sacks, practically. And here I can't get a one of those guys. And she got confidence in herself. She's got satisfaction in being beautiful. She gets all the dates. She's got these jobs that come so easy. She gets money because of it. It's easy to get a husband for her. She's got her pick, and I can't even get one. Now, of course, we are finding out, interesting enough, in this church, that the girls are not being picked off by the men for marriage by beauty on down. Sometimes they hit the bottom ones. I think maybe sometimes they feel like, well, at least I feel secure here. And some of the beautiful girls are still remaining unmarried, but they can begin to think that they're not beautiful because of it. Not necessarily true. But even, and it is true that even a girl who's not, who's even homely can really improve a lot with effort and look nice. It's amazing as you look at these magazines, the before and after pictures. It's just amazing. And there are girls that need to get help. They really do, because you could really help. I'm not talking about need to get help because you're a mess. I mean needing to get help so that you can be better, because it's amazing what you can do when you learn how to wear your hair right and dress right and so forth. You can make enormous differences. And some girls, that instead of hating themselves, need to try and upgrade themselves. But it seems like that God's been unfair to you. And here are men and women, they got intelligence, real high level of intelligence, do a good IQ score tests. They got good memories. They always quip through the test and get good grades because they've got good retention. They got wisdom. And then there's a person who's got, he lacks wisdom, they lack good memory, they lack intelligence. And so those who've got these virtues, they've got admiration, they've got confidence, they've got satisfaction, they get the grades, they get the scholarships, they get the jobs, they get the money, they get the ministries, they get the mates. I mean, it seems like they've got it all. Now, obviously, everybody doesn't have the combination of those. Some have good memories and poor wisdom and so forth. And it seems like God's unfair. Some have got good balance, good coordination, quick nerve response, make super athletes. Others, they lack it. They just can't seem to make it. And again, these athletic type get the admiration, they get the confidence, they get the satisfaction. In the sports, right, they're always nabbed up, I'll take Bill, I'll take John. And finally, okay, well, I'll take Mike and have all the rest of those guys, you know. And you know, and I'm always one of the, all the rest of those guys, you know. And it seems like that God's unfair. And then there's a man who's he's extroverted. He has confidence in himself. And the other man, he's introverted, and he always worries about himself, and he has a hard time speaking and all of this. And again, the extrovert, he has the admiration. He has confidence in himself. He gets the satisfaction out of being able to feel like I can do things. And he gets the jobs because he can come on with a good air. And he gets the money because of it. And he gets the dating. He has no trouble going up to the girls and says, hi, beautiful, how'd you like to do this? And the guy said, boy, I just look at him and about to wilt, and I would like to see, and I don't know how to approach him. I'm afraid I might, you know, and you wouldn't want a date, would you? You know? And, you know? And it's difficult for them, and they have trouble. They don't have the same ministries. And it seems like that God's unfair. Another person, they've got personality, they just glow, you know. I mean, they just got this warm personality. And the other person, I just seem like to be an old, crusty, crabbed stick. I seem like I'm just a fence post. I mean, I just can't open up, and I just can't, you know, really smile. I make a smile look like a lemon smiling, you know. I just can't really open up, and I just can't be like that, you know. And again, they have the admiration of people because of the personality. And everybody says, oh, you're the real sweet. That person's a, you know, and they got friends, you know, and they get jobs easy, and they get money because of it in the jobs world, and easy to date and easy to get a mate, you know. And it seems like God's unfair. Another man, another person's born rich. And they get dad's giving them things, dad's buying them houses, dad, you know, a new house for the wedding present, dad gives them a new car, and dad gives them this, and dad gives them that, and they inherit a big business, and they're going, and they got money, they can buy all the nice things of life, and they don't have to ever count the money to do anything, take any vacation they want, travel the world, other people scrape all the time, they're born, you know, the 12th child of a poor family, you know, and it's rugged, you know, and, it's, you know, it's difficult in the family, you know. Everybody's on rations, so to speak, and how much milk you can drink and all of this. And it just seems like, you know, and, well, you know, money talks. The guy's got money. He can do all these things. He can tip big. He can be everybody's friend. He gets opportunity. He can go pleasures. He gets dates. He's got the money. And the other guy is poor and can't do that. And he has to take a bus to get a girl, you know, to take her on a date. And it seems like that God's been unfair. And one person's born free, born in a free country. Another one's born in slavery, born under dictators. One has a free choice, he has opportunity. The other one, he's limited in what he can do. And it seems like God's unfair because he's born in a free country and he's not. One's born with the knowledge of the gospel. His parents were ministers. His parents were in the world full gospel. They were Pentecostal people. They were brought up knowing the power of the Holy Ghost and seeing God and kept from all the sins and vices. And somebody else is born in a cult and they got false doctrine to start with. They bow down to Buddhas before they, you know, gurus. They're taking dope time to a baby, drinking beer when they're a baby. They start off life, you know, without the same opportunity. And one seems to have more opportunity for eternal life. It impacts his life being brought up in the gospel. He's a better citizen. He didn't get in trouble with the police. He's got pleasures the other one doesn't have. It seems like that God is unfair. One is born under a civilization. One is born in an uncivilized country. And their life is impacted. One in the uncivilized country doesn't have the same opportunity for the truth. They don't have radios preaching the gospel. They don't have Christian churches in the land. It seems like God's unfair. Another person who's got popular talent, or great talent, a lot of talent, and somebody's less recognized, everybody's got talents, but they've got less talent, they're less in demand, they've got less recognized talents. The man has got all these recognized talents, and all the talents, he's get admiration, again, confidence, pleasure, jobs, money, popularity, ministry. You know, he's got talent, he can play in music ministry, he can speak, he's artistic, he's literary, he's athletic, he's mechanical, whatever. And it seems like that God is unfair. Now, I would like to read, and you know, the devil takes big advantage of this. Big advantage of this. And he accuses God as being unfair to you. And in Matthew 25, verses 14 and 15, we read this. Listen carefully. Matthew 25, verse 14 and 15. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took he his journey. Now we know as you read on the parable that the talents, that the story represents Jesus Christ giving talents, giving different amount of talents to people. Each one has a different talent. We're not all given the same talent. Some of you know that. And so it seems like God's been unfair. You get talents and spiritual abilities, offices, ministries, gifts are given. God makes this person apostle. He makes this person, you know, he gives them offices. He gives them gifts of the Spirit. He doesn't seem to get it. But notice it says, according to their several abilities. According to their ability. But even we're brought up with different abilities. And there's a natural ability, an inherited ability, as well as an ability that comes from taking advantage of your environment. Now, are we not penalized by our birth? Some are born blind. The mothers poke their eyes out as the beggar class over in India. So because the mother's blind, they poke the babies out because they in a caste system, they have to fall, and the babies are born blind. Doesn't it make a difference how you're born? I was born in the Pentecostal circle. Some were born in the hippie world. Doesn't it make a difference? Of course it makes a difference. Born in different circumstances. Obviously, you've got more advantage being brought up in America than you do over in the land of Mohammedans or Buddhists or animists. Some are born retarded. Some are born blind. Some are born with polio. Some are beggar class in India. Some are born under communism. Some are born under spiritualism. Some born in the dark ages. Some born in revival times. Some born in bondage in Egypt, as in the days of Moses. Some born in Old Testament days, and some in New Testament days. Some are born aboriginals in Australia, don't have the civilization. Some are born by dope addicts, by harlots, by lesbian mothers. They don't have the same advantage. One that was born the son of Cain. Another one was born Abel. If you're born the son of Cain, Cain was driven out. If you're born the son of Abel, then you see the iniquity of the father is passed on to the son. And the blessing of the father is passed on to the son. Obviously, the son of Abel was better off than the son of Cain. Some was born the son of Amalek. And God said, I'll have war with Amalek forever. And so now he is stuck in a group of people that God's going to have war with forever. And he was against Moses, you remember, and that's why God said that. Some were born the Ham of Shem. I mean, the son of Ham. Make sure you're all awake, you. Accidentally making sure you're awake. God said that the Hamites would become servants to Japheth and to Shem, and they would become servants all the days of their life, on up. And so many were born, and they were born into slavery because they were Negroes, because they came from the Hamitic race, and their children and their children and their children. God put a curse upon through Canaan, and that's what happened. And because of Ham, and they were brought up in that type of an environment. Some were sons of Esau. Some were the children of Jacob. And he said, two matter of nations are in thy womb, and one I have loved, and the other have I hated. And some were born of Esau, some were born of Jacob. Esau sold his birthright, but how about their children and their children? They didn't sell the birthright, and yet they were brought up under one or the other. And one was born up under Ishmael and one under Isaac. And Isaac was blessed, and he got certain blessings, and another one on Ishmael was on the other side of the fence. Is God fail? How can he be? Romans 9, 20 and 21. God speaking, saying, "Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God?" Who are you? And who's God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, "Why hast thou made me thus?" You take your poodle and give him a haircut, cut him all these fully silly ways, and bob his tail and put a little... So he has to put up with it. You're a long-haired dog, and you let the hair go over the eyes. He has to look through that hair all his life because the way you did it for him, he can't cut his own hair. I mean, you don't think anything about it. You do what you want with your, you know, your animals. You do this. You spay your cat. You never ask him. Don't get his permission. That may not be his, what the cat wants, she wants, but that's the way you do. God is infinitely greater. He's the creator. Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, "Why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and to another unto dishonor?" If you want to take the clay and you mold it the way you want it molded, make what you want out of it. He says, that's yours, because the clay is yours. Now God is saying, listen, weak, ignorant man, dare you retort on the infinity, the infinitely, I meant to say the infinitely good and righteous God? Reflect on yourself and tell me, after you've abused the grace of God, whether God owes you anything, whether God is in debt to you. After you have transgressed his laws, will you cavil at his dispensations? Does a condemned man have rights of freedom? Does a covenant breaker have rights to the covenant? God has made and formed the Jewish nation, and shall the thing formed, when it has corrupted itself, pretend to correct the wise, uncorruptible author of its being and say, "Why hast thou made me thus? Why hast thou done me wrong in giving me my being under such and such conditions?" Now, a potter, I'm not talking about with a modern process uniform clay, but with the clay of the land as they dig out, they divide the clay into categories. Real pliable clay, less pliable clay, and so forth, and they make the vessels accordingly. And a very pliable clay will go into a very thin, high-necked, beautiful vase, handles and all, and the stiffer clay that's not yielding so much, it'll be made into a little thick, fat bowl. That's about all you can do with it. And that's what God is doing with us. Those that allow him and will become pliable, he's making them into these apostolic bowls and so forth, and those that won't, they get made into, you know, these other type of bowls. Because that's all God can do. God will stretch the clay as far as he can reasonably do so. He'll make it as beautiful as he can. We are the limiting factor. But are we not different at birth? Yes. But it is so by the sins of man. Communism, Buddhism, slavery, civilization, demonism, poor, these things put you as a child under that kind of a situation. Man has made it. God never made you a communist, Buddhist, slavery, poor, demonized, civilized or uncivilized. God never made you that way. Your forebears did. Man did. Disobedient parents did. But is there not the bodily and mental disease factors that have a bearing? Yes. But even in the gene system, see, we're from a gene system, and we're not individual creations of God. We're from a gene system that takes 23 chromosomes and 20 from the male and 23 from the female, haphazardly as far as we know. It takes them at random, we say, if that be correct. We don't know that that's correct. It may not be. And you end up a certain type of an individual. Then millions of sperm go out, and only one fertilizes the egg. Everyone's different, depending on which one makes contact. Now, as far as we know, it's random. And one reason to believe it's random is, I won't go into details, but there are, if you've read, there are systems that help you to, you can have a male or a female baby at your choice if you follow these six things to about an 85% factor and positions various things. And if you do that, the male sperm has, under certain conditions, a better chance, a sperm that will make a baby, you know, the X and Y, so they have more of a chance of reaching the egg than the other one will, which would tend to make us think that it is a random thing rather than a God-chosen thing. And so we're under a gene system thing. It isn't God has made it individually, as far as we know. But did not God set up the gene system? Yes, but man has impacted that gene system by sin. That's led to disease, retardations, mutations, you see, and even ugliness by intermarriages. Once he drove them out, and then they intermarried and became different from each other, and then came together and intermarried again, they ended up with features that never would have been there had Nimrod behaved himself, and there had never been dispersion. If they had stayed together and continually mixed among themselves all the times, there wouldn't have been these unusual traits that come by separating people and then coming and getting them different and then bringing them together. And drugs, alcohol, adulteries, these various sins, various things have impacted the people through the gene system to some degree, and in the carrying the child during pregnancy, marrying their own family contrary to God, from the very Tower of Babel to the dispersion, wars that cut down the men in good strength and good wisdom, and so cutting down men that are healthy. And continual wars, continuing to cutting down the healthy, you know, leaving those that are not, you know, not so healthy and so forth to continue to bear children and families and so forth. Wars that have led to intermarriages coming in and taking over and rapes and so forth. Rape itself, judgment of God, apostasy, leading to lack of protection of God, lack of blessing, lack of food, lack of health. Have impacted them, children being brought up until they didn't develop the same as they would have. Wars, as I mentioned, killed off most of the able men, many of them at least. But do not talents vary, God-given talents? Yes, but all talents given by God are useful. All of them are complementary, and all of them are valuable in a balanced society. There's no such thing as good talents and bad talents. All talents are good and all talents are useful. Now, if everybody had the same talent, we'd have a problem, wouldn't we? If everybody was mathematical and nobody was literary, see? If everybody was athletic and nobody was musical, see? We need variations. All of them are valuable. If used right, they can all be used wrongly, they can all be used right. And if all the world were godly, if the whole world had followed God, nobody would be poor. Nobody would be unrecognized. There'd be no fleshly fads. There wouldn't be competitions and wars and all these problems because, like I showed you in the slide, viewfoil this morning in Sunday school, both would be just receiving the wisdom of God instead of making their own judgments. There'd be no problems. It'd all be directly received from God. It'd be a wonderful place, and then you wouldn't have your gripe. You wouldn't have the problem areas. People wouldn't be, you know, pushing one way over another. And so when you get down to it, man is really the culprit of your problem, not God. But doesn't God allow all this? Yes, but let me soften the wound by saying it's only for 70 and then eternity forever. And in eternity, things tend to balance out. Now you're going to see a new picture. Now things are going to be different. Some of those things that are counted as super valuable things you want here have been stumbling blocks to some people who will go to the lake of fire forever. And some of you that have lacked some of those things will have made it easier for you to make heaven your home. Now, don't you think God knows this? I mean, God who knows all things and can cause all things to... You see, God does not manipulate us like puppets. He doesn't have us on a string. And yet, God works for good in all things to them that are called according to His purpose. And God knows how to get you where He wants you without directly manipulating you. He does not just make you do something or stop you from doing something, but He knows how to work until, in His tremendous wisdom, leave you a free moral agent and still get you where He wants you. And with that in mind, don't you think God who knows heaven and hell, see, He knows. He knows what you would be even if you weren't born blind or if you were, crippled or not. He knows if you're beautiful or not, handsome, talented. He knows what your temptations, whether you would make it or not. He knows what would happen. He gives us opportunity. Every man has opportunity. But some of these things, they must be weighed in the light of eternity. And in the light of eternity, these things really pale. These advantages really pale. This short time compared with eternity is different. And you get the same advantage for eternity without being beautiful or handsome or so on and forth. There are some advantages in being beautiful and handsome, but there are some advantages not being in it too. And sometimes they outweigh the other. But in general, all things tend, I believe, to balance out. You see, the strong and the husky don't necessarily have the best balance or the best coordination or the best nerve response. Therefore, sometimes you find some young, wiry fella doing better than the strong and the husky. Yeah. He's doing a better job than they are. He can do better in athletics than they can oftentimes because he's got the speed, he's got certain other factors that help compensate for the other, you see. The strong and the husky is not necessarily the most handsome. He's not necessarily the most intelligent or have the best wisdom or the best memory. He may necessarily not necessarily be the extroverted. He may necessarily have the best personality. He may necessarily not be, he may not necessarily born rich. He may not be artistic, musical, literary, mechanical, scholarly. He may not be born under the gospel. He may not be born in a civilized country or in a free country. I mean, see, you can go through each one of these things. You don't necessarily have all the others. Nobody has all of them. You've got some combination, and he's got some combination, and these things tend to balance out. Now, and the same with beauty. You're not necessarily the most scholarly or the most highly talented. And the same with the person who's highly talented and is intelligent. He's not necessarily handsome or beautiful or rich. He can't necessarily exploit these other areas. Now, you might say, well, I'll trade. Well, so would millions of others. In fact, that beautiful girl, you know, that you would trade with, she might trade with you, too, to have that spirituality and joy and power with God and some of those other, you know, be brainy like you and some other things. You may be tired of all the guys mauling her all the time, and she may wish she had what you've got. That's, you know, millions of people would trade from what they have and what they take for granted and therefore not fully appreciate for what they lack and want. That's why sometimes women and men will move off and find some other lover, some other husband or wife or something, because I know lots of cases like this. This woman, she got a really fantastic husband. You know, he's spiritual, he's got balance, he's patient, he's a good spiritual man, he's got talents, ability, but he's got one deficit. This other guy over here, he's not spiritual, he doesn't have the wisdom, he doesn't have the looks, I mean, he is just not the same man, but he can kiss up a storm. And her husband's not a kisser, and so she wants this guy because he's got it. Well, see, she's taken for granted all the values. And she longs, she misses one thing so much. And he's got the one thing. She ever married him, she'd be in a mess. She'd be really unhappy because then she'd miss all the things that her first husband had, see. And we're not always honest with ourselves. We're subjective, and we always want what we don't have because that's what we lack. That's what we miss is what we don't have. And we don't always, you know, really appreciate what we do have. Don't appreciate the health that you've gotten till you see somebody all crippled up in a wheelchair, griping and complaining because you don't have this or you don't have that, and somebody else has got 10 times worse than you are physically, you see. Or they're sick all the time. And, you know, you say, well, I'm ugly. Well, you got 2 legs, and he didn't have any legs, and he's sick. This person's sickly all of his life, see. And says, well, I'm crippled. Well, this man doesn't have, but you got good arms and you got in a wheelchair, but you got good arms and you got a good mind, and somebody else, he's twisted up and he can't use his upper body or his lower body. You see, we don't appreciate what we do have. We're oftentimes like the person who says the glass is half empty instead of saying it's half full. And looking at what we don't have instead of thanking God for what we do have. But most people with intelligence would not trade it for beauty. They would not want to be beautiful but a dumb clunk. I mean, once you got wisdom and intelligence, you don't want to part with it. You want the beauty, but you wouldn't trade. Or if you got wisdom, you don't want to, you know, you wouldn't, like I said, you don't want to trade it for the other. Or if you got wisdom, you don't want to trade it for wealth. I mean, you like to have a lot of money, but you just don't want to be you don't want to be dumb, you know. You don't want to be stupid. I mean, that's hard to, you know. Or if you're wealthy, it may be difficult to trade it even for truth because, hard to give this up. I mean, you know, it's hard to give up anything you've got that's good. If you've got truth, it's hard to give it up so you can be extroverted. You hate to be introverted, but it's hard to give up that because, you know, if you're extroverted, it's hard to give up to be musical because you hate to be introverted and musical. Or if you're musical, you hate to give it up to have a good personality because you hate to give up music. You know what I mean? Any really good virtue, you really would hate to give up for that other thing that somebody else has that wants that doesn't have what you've got. I mean, there is a balancing factor here. Now, in other words, people just want what they lack. In other words, they want everything. They don't want to give up anything good. But nobody's got everything. Now, if one were able to trade the ugliness for the beauty they crave, and they lost the intelligence, and they lost the life and the spirit, and then they were gorgeous, but no longer, they gave up, they were willing to trade. Then they would crave the intelligence and the life of the spirit they gave up. See? Now, some may object and say, yes, but some are beautiful and intelligent and musical and with personality and with the life and the spirit. Yes, there are some that have multiple advantages and talents. But again, all things tend to balance out. They've got temptations that you've never tasted and perhaps could not handle. Perhaps could not handle. I mean, if you had all of a sudden that beauty and that talent and all those areas, you might be really heady, full of pride. You might find yourself multiple fornications. You might find yourself being attracted. You might find yourself out in the world in Hollywood, making lots of money and going to the lake of fire. If Elvis Presley did not have his musical talent, he might have made it. He had a certain kind of a Christian mother. He might have made it. But you see, that talent, he couldn't handle it. There was a girl that I know, who's a kind of a real pretty cute little thing. But she ended up becoming a harlot. She said, well, it was the only thing I don't get good grades, I just, you know, so forth. It was the only thing I'm good at. In other words, it became a temptation. Now, what if she'd been ugly? She would never have fallen into that trap. She would never have fallen in that trap. She would never have backslidden and end up as a harlot. She was saved before that time, filled with the Holy Spirit. But the devil kept beating on her because she couldn't seem to do anything except, you know, just be whatever the men wanted to be physically. So she jumped where her talent was into the lake of fire. Unless God saves her, he may do that. Beauty, intelligence, talent, they get those temptations for pride. Apostolic ministries, miracle ministries, temptation for pride. Ministers have fallen. Once they get, you know, enough power, everybody loving them, everybody admiring them, everybody clapping, you know, they can make money and so forth. All of a sudden they're vulnerable like they've never been vulnerable before. It isn't everybody that can handle it. That's what the Bible says, to don't make an elder out of a novice, lest he be tempted by the devil and to be lifted up in pride. See? They can't handle it. Maybe you couldn't handle what you'd really like to be. Maybe if you were as buxom as you'd like to be, you'd fall to temptation and sin. Maybe if you were as handsome and strong, you would end up among all the muscle men and end up to be a homosexual. I mean, maybe you couldn't handle the temptations that would come with the beauty, the demands. You are super talented. The church won't pay you big money. Hollywood wants to pay you $1 million a year. Maybe you'd fall for it and make excuses. I know a Christian man who's out of this church and he's out in the entertainment world trying to make it because he's got talent. He wants to do something out there and show. See, if he didn't have that talent, he probably would still be here serving the Lord. He even threw his wife away because of it. You see, some people can't handle it, or at least they won't. Now, you might rebuttal and say, well, I just wish I were rich. Jesus said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, they're all rich men that will make heaven their home. But if you came into $10 million, it could swamp you. It could. Now, maybe it wouldn't in your case. But in some cases, it would. And some people think it wouldn't. They would. Some people, you see, if I had $10 million, I'd give it to the Lord. I'd just keep maybe $50,000. Yeah. Ha ha. Are you prepared for the demons that are going to come and talk to you? They're like Mutt and Jeff at the time when he says, the little guy says to the big guy, whoever the big guy's name is, Jeff, I guess. Mutt says, say, would you, if you had $2 million, would you give me $1 million? He says, sure. He said, if you had 2 Cadillacs, would you give me one? He said, sure. He said, if you had 2 white shirts, would you give me one? He says, no. He said, why? He says, because I have 2 white shirts. And that's the way a lot of us would be, you know. It's easier to give things you don't have. Well, I just wish I wasn't introverted. Well, of course. But extroverts do get into more trouble. Because they're not afraid to do dangerous things, be popular, take risks, make big moves. They trust in themselves too much. Don't trust in God quite as much. It's the temptation to trust in yourself more. If you're more accomplished, there's more of a temptation. You're more talented, there's more of a temptation to trust yourself than trust God. When you haven't got anything, you know it. Like Paul said, when I'm weak, then am I strong. Then you trust God because you know you can't do it. Some ministers get so accomplished that they leave off trusting God and try to take the ministry in themselves. They feel like, I can do it now. Some people are gifted of healing miracles. They try to, hey, I can just do this, you know, and they get in trouble. Like Jeffries, a splendid man of God who ended up saying the whole world lies at my feet and dying of the same disease, arthritic disease that God healed others through him with. You might rebuttal and say, well, many make it. Many extroverts make it to heaven, many introverts don't. Yes, and many don't make it. Can't we trust God with allowing the match of personality and the soul with the talents? If he gives us certain talents, if he allows certain things to happen, I don't know how all these things work, but I think that we just need to trust God and not say to the Maker, why hast thou made me thus? I think you should have made me this and this and let the gene system fall this way and this and this. God has ways of working things out and balancing and so forth, no matter what. There are some more things taken into consideration. It'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for Jerusalem in the Day of Judgment. According to the Scriptures, because Jerusalem had more judgment. It'll be more tolerable for India in the judgment than for the United States of America. It'll be more tolerable for Buddhists than Christians. You know that? More tolerable. They'll be judged with less rigor. They will be allowed a lot more ignorance God will wink at. As Paul said, God winked at his ignorance. If you allow me to say this, from my own biased position, it'd be more tolerable for the Methodists than it will be for the Pentecostals in that day. It'd be more tolerable for the average charismatics than it will be for community chapelites. It'd be more tolerable for the sick than for the well, for the retarded than for the brilliant. If you're one of these, you know, I know a person who had the unfortunate, his mother had German measles when he was pregnant, when she was pregnant with him, and he was retarded. He never did go past about, 7, 8 years old or something like this in his mind. And when he was still 50 and 60 years old, you know, he still played with dolls and so forth. He loved the Bible. He had a Christian mother. He loved the Bible. He couldn't read it, couldn't read a word of it. It was a Jesus book. But he looked at the pictures. Now, you know his concepts aren't the same as ours. He didn't have a concept of theology like we. He had a primitive theology. But you know, he's going to make heaven, and Rockefeller's not. He's going to make heaven, and some very talented people who fail will not. Because they had temptations. See, he doesn't have near the temptations. Somebody's looked after him all of his life. He's husky, can go out and chop wood. but he can't think very well, but he's got eternal salvation. What if his mother hadn't had... God could have healed them of that. What would have happened? I don't know. Maybe he would have gone to the lake of fire. Maybe he would have gone to hell. Maybe he wouldn't have made it. Maybe he would have backslid. It would have been better if that would have been true, that he'd been born the way he is. You know, there's a lot of things we don't know that in the judgment day we're going to say, oh, you know, we're going to understand a lot of things better by and by. Everything desirable puts you in a position of more temptation. More is required of you if you've got five talents and if God's given you one talent, because the first must gain five talents to on a 5-to-1 ratio. He's been giving you five talents, you need to develop earn five talents from it. He gives you one, he only expects you to earn one. So if he's given you less, you don't have to accomplish as much. So maybe you've got less, but you don't have to come up with as much. And some people who've been given 10 have got a lot to come up with, and if they don't come up with 10 more, they're going to be more in trouble with you than you if you've got one and came up with one. And so consider that as well. You've got less responsibility placed on you. You have an easier task. You'll make your rating with less effort. And that may work. See, there's a lot of things. And now we're involving areas that God called in ministry. Got what God called. He calls them, gives them all this, but he's got to do all this now because he called them. Now more is required of him. And maybe you wouldn't have made it if he called you. Maybe it's better you've never been called. Maybe it's better you never had the talent, so he would call you in that area. Peter never had the same education and I'm going to guess intelligence that Paul. But he didn't have to go out to the Roman world and suffer like Paul either. You see. He had less strain on him than Paul. Paul had more abilities, but he had to do more. Older children with more abilities have to do more. Pastor has to do more than you. Some of you, you could get a chance to be big boss of this here outfit. Some of you would trade back within a week. You'd find out that the job is bigger than you really want to carry. And so, you see, things don't always look like they're painted on the outside. But once you have something, you'd never give it up, no matter what the responsibility. That's natural. In heaven, the Bible says, many of the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And then who was lucky? To use that word lucky in a broad term, a sense that's not really accurate. Better to have been born... I was polio and retarded, which is a terrible combination, and have eternal life, then born handsome, strong, and brilliant, and go in the lake of fire. And many are doing that. Going there, I should say. Now, a beautiful, buxomy girl's got more dates than an ugly, flat-chested girl. But you know something? The ugly, flat-chested girl who can't get the dates, and she's a Christian, it's easy for her to go to the prayer meetings. Because nobody's going to call anyway. But the other one's got the phone ringing off the hook. There's a certain temptation not to go into the prayer room because all the guys will all flack around her, and that's so enjoyable that it's more difficult to go into the prayer room. Well, the other one, she might as well head the prayer room because she just feels like a left shoe out here anyway, and she might as well get in there, and she's got something more valuable than what the other girl's got has come. You see, we don't often take that into consideration. Sure, they can all go there and pray. Sure, the beautiful girl can go pray. Sure, there's some beautiful girls in the glory of God. But the temptation is stronger for that person than the other one. The athletic strong man has a temptation to go into sports, fun, pleasure, dates, sex, and so forth because he can get it and do it. The blind and the crippled man, you see, he can't go out and do those same things. And if he's a Christian, it's easier for him to go to prayer, to listen to sermons, to do things to build him spiritually because he doesn't have as much chance at the flesh as the other man. And he can end up stronger on the other side. Not that the other person can't, but you see, there's less temptation on him. It's easier for him to do the things of God. He may be getting to morose about his condition. He may gripe about his condition, but he can take advantage of his condition, if he will. Because he can't do the other things, he can center it all in God and just die to the flesh. Some people are so ugly, they don't even try. They don't even worry about it anymore. I mean, they just go to God, you know. And they don't try to vaunt themselves in the world. Well, now, everybody should, of course, make themselves as nice-looking as possible, but they don't have the chance of conceit because they can't talk themselves into it, you know. The rich have a temptation for yachts, worldwide travel, buy girls, buy the way through life. And they can ruin themselves. They're tempted too much. For the poor, peasant family, they don't have the same temptation. They know what they're going to do every day. They're all going to work out in the field every day, father, mother, and all the kids together. And they're going to work 12, 14 hours, come home tired, eat a bit of bread and cheese and milk and so forth, and go to bed in a simple life. But at least the wife is not working, you know, out on a truck with some truck driver driving the country and out in the unions and working in industry and flitting, you know, having some man, you know, propose to her and try to get her into bed with him. And she doesn't have her husband out with somebody else in the same place. And they're not rich Hollywood people. He's not going to make a movie in England where she's down in Australia. And they got leading men and women hugging and kissing them all the day long and bragging them up. And they don't have all this money. I'm going to do this. And I'm over here. And they don't have all those things to fight over. They got nothing to fight over. They're against the world together. They've only got one thing to do is to work together. They don't really have time to do any fighting. They're busy trying to make a living. You see, they may wish that they were rich when the rich come by, but the rich don't have the same tranquility as they have. Like it's been said, the stable boy sleeps all night, but the king tosses and turns in his bed for fear of somebody taking over his position and all the worries of the kingdom. Temptation is often too much for beauty. They go into vanity and conceit. Say you're a woman instead of a man. You don't get a chance to be the head of the family. You don't have the physical strength. You don't have the same leadership position out in the world. It looks like you get the short end of the stick. But a woman, although she is supposed to yield to her husband, she has a God-given ability to yield. God gave mercy to Eve when she had to submit to her husband, and he gave her a heart, if it is not twisted by the devil, to want to submit. And she has the pleasure of being chosen. Well, he has the pleasure of choosing. She gets the pleasure of being chosen. And it's easier for her to submit. It's easier for a woman to yield to God than it is men. All the time. I mean, you travel. No matter how much you travel, you'll find out it's easier for women. They yield easier. And prayer easier. It's easier to yield to God. Because they have that yielding spirit God gives. It's easier to yield to the husband. It's more difficult for a man. Men can do it, but it's more difficult. On the other hand, it's easier for women to yield to the devil, too. They're more emotional. It's easier to do that. They yield so much easier, they can yield either way easier. You look at all the cults and all the... Well, there's more women involved in witchcraft and the cult and sorcery. The women just fall for false things a lot faster than the men do. They also fall for God faster than the men do. Either way, see, and if they go this way, they yield more quickly to God, and you always find more women come to prayer meetings, more women in the church, more grandmas and the grandpas, and so forth. That's the way it is. Men, boss of the family, they don't cry, they're not so emotional, but they got the strength, but they've also got in the weak area. Or sometimes men go into heavy. Where calamity hits them, and under heavy calamity, some of them would give anything that they could cry. They just can't cry. They feel like I just want to release, and I can't do it, you know. And a woman, she can cry and release easy. And so at least she gets a release. I mean, you see, everything balances out. They're different, but they balance. Now, you might rebut and say, but these things don't always happen. I know a person who's so-and-so and so-and-so. Yes, so do I. There's lots of exceptions to a lot of these things. They do not always happen. True. If beautiful and handsome and strong and rich, and rich people always failed and fall, no one would be saved. And they all would be total failures. So it isn't that way, of course. But they have had their furnace trials, and they've had to overcome. When I became a pastor, I have had 100 times the trials I had previously. I was elevated from a teacher to a pastor, give more responsibility, get a chance to run something like I think it should be run. I wish. But I've inherited everybody else's problems. All everybody else's hurts. I have the vanity, I get all the love, but I get the hurts. I get the love, I get the claim, but I get the blame. You see, it balances out. Now, all things are not true in all areas. Good training pays off. Good environment pays off. Other strong personality areas help protect us, pay off. In areas we've allowed ourselves to develop these areas, these personalities in the right way. But no one is without strong temptation. And if you do not have a lot of strong temptation at the moment, it's because you've been obedient, because you've had deliverance, or because you've exercised the will toward the will of God. Otherwise, you'd be under more heavy trials again. And then, of course, you'll get trials being this way. You'll get trials even though that way. But if you don't walk with God, trials will come thick and fast because of your own making. Although the devil will always see that you get them no matter what. Now, further, God looks not as man looks. God thinks not as man thinks, and God accounts not as man accounts. He looketh on the heart, not on the outward. God hasn't forgotten anything. Can you believe that? He hasn't forgotten anything. And he would not the great judge of all the earth do right, the scripture says. You see, we can believe that in the judgment, God will take all things into consideration. If he said it's more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for Capernaum or Jerusalem, Nazareth, all these other places, if he winked at Paul's ignorance in this time because he was living to all good conscience, whereas he didn't with somebody's ignorance, but did not live into good conscience, if God judges on these bases and all this type of thing, he knows all things, then he will make sure that everything balances out because God is fair. Well, now you might rebut and say, well, I still don't like my ugliness. Well, I don't blame you. I have looked at myself in the mirror at times and said out loud. People said, you know, people have complimented me for being handsome. And I've gone and looked in the mirror and I've said, you are ugly. You know? But I don't blame you. But none of us like our problems. I would sell this, what I pleasantly call an accent, cheap. And I can't find a buyer. I have to live with it. We have to live with our problems. But it's important to have the right attitude. It's important to be content into whatever state you find yourself, as the scripture says. It's important to not blame God. It's important not to blame life. I stopped at a restaurant the other day, and the cashier said, concerning my wife, as she walked off, how do you keep her so skinny? And I said, well, she keeps herself that way. And then she said, boy, she said, you know, some people eat, you know, she can eat anything she wants, she said, and not get fat. It makes me sick. Now, she just hauled off and made the assumption that she can eat anything she wants. She made the assumption that she's not being careful of her eating. She just makes those assumptions because, you know, but it makes me sick. Some people, you know, this is a real trap of the devil. If somebody has favor, somebody else is upset at it. Never allow the devil to make you sick because somebody is skinny. I've heard from authority, good authority, that some of these people at these obese clinics, these weight clinics and so forth, some of these people, the obese people come in and hate those thin people that are helping work on them. They hate them. Sometimes people get to a hatred towards thin people. Why hate somebody that's like you would like to be? And if you ever got that way, then people, all the people hate you. I mean, it's so unreasonable to hate somebody because that's one reason that some people are attacking people. They get jealousy. husband attacking the wife because they're jealous of her spirituality in ministries, trying to get her ministry away from her, attacking her. People attacking the pastor because they're jealous because he's doing something that they can't do. Some people are jealous and they're attacking, and that is a real bad frame of mind to get into. Now, if you have difficulties in your life and you push through six barriers, you've got more glory than the one who only had to push through two barriers. Every trial gives you more opportunity. My son David has Friedreich's ataxia, and I don't think too many of you would trade and take that. I don't think too many of you would like to be like that. I can just about tell you that he does less complaining than almost any of you here. And he got more right to do more complaining than most of you. And yet these things all still balance out. You see, he can't write right now, so he's developed a super memory because he had good talent to begin with. He's got a super memory. I don't think that the teacher in a Bible college, including the pastor, that has the range of scriptures that he has in reference. He can tell you more scriptures, and he's not studying it all the time either. He just has it. He's got ability. He can go back 5 years ago and tell you every move of chess game he played. I couldn't tell you one if I was on the middle of one of them, the same one. We've got different abilities. But you see, he's had to push through a lot of barriers. And the doctors have said that people like that, they either give up, turn their face to the wall, and just quit and become morose and inward, incommunicative, or else they fight to excel. And he's chosen to fight to excel. Now, you've got a problem. You either can fight to excel, or you can just turn your back to the face of the wall and give up and feel sorry for yourself. But see, that's not helping you. If you realize in the way to eternal glory, plow through all the barriers in front of you. There are people that have had legs chopped off and went on, one fighter, World War I fighter pilot, got both legs shot off, World War I, and he went on to be one of the leading aces of World War II, flying a fighter pilot, two wooden legs, getting battle for the British. One person without an arm got to be a champion in the big league with one arm. One arm baseball player made the big leagues. Now, you don't have the same advantage with one arm. Everybody with two arms uses both of them. There's a certain man in this congregation, he didn't have a hand, I believe. Or part of a hand, he didn't have a hand. He could do better work with one and a half hands than most people could with two. He worked hard. See, you can overcome things. If you're not good at speaking, if you're not good at something, you can overcome. You can. My brother Bob was not musical like my brother Joe. But God filled him with the Holy Ghost, and he went on to trust God, and God helped him to play the guitar and so forth and sing, and he went through a barrier, you see. And we've got barriers to come through. I could sit down and say, well, I got all this, I got this accent, and people say, I can't understand you and what, and so forth, and so I could never be a public speaker, see. But I had to swallow that and push on through it. And some kids used to make fun of me. I have trouble with people on the phone, telephone operators, the most unimaginative people in the face of the earth, you know. And I suppose because, you know, there's every type of pronunciation of phone in the world, and they don't know. But, you know, you never know what somebody else is going through. But plow on through it. Every trial leads to more opportunity. The scripture says, through much tribulation you shall enter the kingdom of God. That doesn't just mean you're going to get in a lot of trouble in life. Tribulation will drive you, if you allow it, drive you like the winds will drive a sail in the kingdom of God. Like Paul, and God said, my grace is sufficient for you. And so when I'm weak, then am I strong. I'm made strong through these trials, make you stronger. See, Paul was stronger going through trials. If Paul didn't have anything but one pupil to teach, and off in a secret hidden place in the desert, we had no persecution, he would not end up to be as strong a soul for heaven. Marriage is more difficult than single life, but there's more glory, and if you handle it right, you'll be a better person because of it. Having children makes life more difficult, as well as having more joy, but you'll be a better person because it teaches you to give. It teaches you to put it. See, it puts responsibility upon you. Responsibility, if it's handled well, will make you a better person. Temptation, if it's handled well, Accusations, devil fighting will make you stronger if you handle it well. The thing to do is not to complain before you all, but to handle it well. I'm on the count, last page. Being born is dangerous. I mean, heaven or hell awaits you. It's dangerous. But if you survive, you'll make heaven. And it'll be worth it. Your will plus your faith in God will give you the victory. And if you feel too sorry for yourself, consider this. You could have been born in the Old Testament dispensation without the Holy Ghost, never a chance to be the man-child company. You could have been born in the Dark Ages. You could still be a bride in the Old Testament. In the Dark Ages, that man-child is a last-day area of the bridehood. You could have been born in the Dark Ages. Maybe you've been born in the 1200s or 1000s. Never have the Protestant Reformation. You could have been born in Russia, or in India, or China, or Africa, or blind, or deaf. And if you make it, you'll have eternal life. Was it then all that important? Once you're in eternal life, it won't seem important. You know how back when you're in preschool, Johnny took your dump truck, and it seemed like your whole world fell apart, and you bawled and bawled and bawled and bawled, you know, over some little thing. But later when you was in the fifth grade, it didn't make any difference about Johnny taking your dump truck when you was 4 years old or five. And you know that embarrassing thing, the difficulty when you're in junior high school and you got that F grade and they marked your paper all up and all that kind of thing and you had to stay after school and this and that? Well, you got in Bible college, it wasn't important anymore. Someday when you get to heaven, it will not seem important that you were born blind, that you were ugly, that you this, that you that, this and that. It won't seem important anymore when you're over on the other side. In fact, people have given up a lot of things, a lot more than beauty and handsome and popularity. They have become martyrs. They were in prison for years. They gave up the wife, the daughter, and everything, put in prison camp, all for the glory of the hereafter. Look what Moses gave up, the whole kingdom for the hereafter. You see, these tribulations for this moment are small compared with the eternal weight in glory. God said, be content in whatever state you find yourself. You know what that means? That means whatever state we find ourselves. If your nose is so big the bus always stops when you are standing at a corner, you know. Regardless of what, you should still learn to accept what you have and cannot change. Change what you can and accept what you can't. And be content in whatever state you find yourself. Now, you might rebut and say, but I can't be happy with my situation. You don't have to be happy, just content. You can't be happy with something you hate, but you can learn to be content with it. If you're poor, you can learn not to be always agitated at the rich, but accept it. You may not be happy with being poor, but you can accept it. If you're this big, lose weight. And it's harder to go out than it is in, they tell me. If you're too thin, do what you can and then be content with it. You may not like it. If you're flat-chested and you're good and you hate it, nobody's asking you to be happy in that state, but learn to be content with it. Don't keep agitated. Men, if your wife isn't beautiful, buxomy, quit running your nose through it all the time. You accept her that way. Learn to be content with the wife you've got. Quit always reminding her and trying to find something you don't have. Learn to be content with what you got in all areas of life. Don't covet your neighbor's ass or his sheep or his wife or money or anything else. Trust in God and avoid self-pity, because self-pity is a real trap. And we need to really get delivered from that. Make the best of every situation. Remember, it will all come out in the judgment and eternal life. And God will be vindicated at the end to be fair when we shall all know even as we are known. You don't think in the end we're going to finally find out that God was unfair. We're going to finally find out that we didn't have the whole story. And we're going to find out he was fair and all things indeed balance out. And even if they don't, it's still God's business. He owns the clay. Regardless, he's the one who made the decision. You buy cats and dogs and trade them. I'll trade you my dogs for this and so forth. Hey, how about me? You're my master. I don't want him. You mean, difference. You trade your dogs for this if you want. I mean, you do what you want with yours, even if you didn't create them. It's God's property you're trading. Certainly, he can do with what he created. We have to let God be God. And finally, in the New Jerusalem, it won't matter about earth. And if you're not yet convinced, then listen to this one last statement. There are scriptures, I won't take time to prove it to you, but there are scriptures that teach that God definitely compensates. And the more you're persecuted, the more he'll compensate. God will compensate. What you don't have, he'll compensate. So at least if you can't see, if it doesn't balance out as far as I can see, it may not in this life. And they may have the same opportunities you have for eternity and so forth, and the beautiful and the rich may make it too, but God compensates. Wait till you see your pile in heaven, and maybe God will say, you see this pile? Use this ugly term as a pile of jewelry. You would have had that little pile, but because of your situation, I've compensated. You would have had but lived down there, but now you're going to live up here in these glorious mansions because for you I've compensated. Because you did what you could with what you had. But if you don't do what you can with what you've got, and you blame God and you don't make the best of it, then you see you won't receive the same kind of compensations. I hope this will help some of you that have been hating yourself and under the spirits of rejection. Rebuke those things and be away with them once and for all.